We're going to have our Bible reading for this morning now, and Mary is going to read for us. Thank you, Mary.
Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats and that belonged to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a huge number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinner." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so when James and John and sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners, then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for reading it so well for us. Okay, got to put up something on the screen. I wonder if anyone can tell me what film, movie that refers to. Mark's hand shot up.
Back to the Future.
Anybody familiar with Back to the Future, apart from Mark? One or two. I mean, it's a bit of a classic, but I guess it was back in the mid-1980s, I think. And in the film, obviously, Back to the Future, so they're going back in time. And there's a point in the film where the Doc, that's the guy hanging on to the clock, says to Mark, or shows Marty McFly the time machine, and they're able to set whatever time back they want to go. So if they want to go to 1921, December, they just put that in. Now, I'm sure at some point in our life, we've kind of wondered, wouldn't it be nice to go back in time? And, it's a kind of fascinating thought, isn't it, to be able to go back in time? I mean, wouldn't it be great to go back in time to the time of Jesus, for example? And if I can go back in time, I would love to go back and witness this miracle that Mary read to us. You know, it's quite a story. We've got these fishermen who are very experienced. We've been told they were out all night. Now, what would it have been like? I'd love to see the expression on their faces as they pulled up on shore with empty nets. Can you just imagine that feeling, that sense of embarrassment? And here they are, they're washing their nets. I guess there might have been people on shore waiting in expectation. that fish would arrive. Perhaps they too would be disappointed. They've come back with nothing to show for all their hard work. And as I say, they're now washing their nets, and they can hear someone speaking. It's a kind of familiar voice. It's a voice I've heard before, and it's Jesus. They've met Jesus before. They haven't committed to following him, but they have met him, and he shows up on the shore. And he says to Simon, you know, can I basically borrow your boat and push it out so that I can teach the people? I would imagine that would be the last thing the disciples, or certainly Simon, Peter, would want to do. You know, he's been up all night, out in the dark, you know, throwing the net out, hauling it back in, nothing. Throwing it out again, hauling it back in, nothing. In the dark, all night long. I guess if I was him, I would just want to go back home and hit the sack, as they say, you know, go to bed. The last thing I would want is to, have my boat and, listen to some teaching. As I say, I would just love to see the emotions etched on Simon Peter's face. And Jesus says, after teaching the crowd, something that must have seemed quite ridiculous. In fact, almost sounding like nonsense. Simon, give it another go. Go back in your boat, go back into deep water, and try again. That must have just sounded ridiculous. I'm sure it must have done. You know, and he says, he tries to almost argue his case. Master, we've tried. We've been out all night, and we have caught zilch. Nothing. There's no fish out there. Just give it another try. Let down your nets and just see what happens. Well, we know what happens, don't we? A miraculous catch of fish. The nets at breaking point, bulging with fish. So much so that they've got to call their friends over to come and help them gather in all these fish. In fact, it's getting to the point where both boats are beginning to sink. It's getting to the point where they might lose the catch altogether and maybe even lose their lives. And boats are beginning to sink with the weight of these fish. Again, wouldn't it just be lovely to be able to see the contrasting emotions on their faces? You know, what would it be like? Shock? Would it be giggling? Would it be laughing? Maybe joy, maybe disbelief. What we do know is that Simon goes to Jesus, falls at his feet, and says, go away from me. I am a sinful man. And then Jesus responds with the most amazing offer of grace. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of people. And we're told, aren't we, that Simon left everything and followed Jesus. So that's what we're going to think about this morning. And we're going to think about it in the context of the little book that we've been working our way through by Bill Hybels called Just Walk Across the Room. I've even brought my copy here. And I know one or two others have bought a copy and are reading through it. It's certainly a book I would highly recommend. Just Walk Across the Room. It's all about, or the premise of the book is based on Philippians chapter 2, which we looked at, where Jesus gave up everything, leaving heaven, leaving all the glory, all the applause of heaven, and coming to earth. You know, stepping across the cosmos, if you like, for our benefit. And then we looked as well, didn't we, at Luke chapter 15, where we discovered God's concern for the lost, that he would leave 99 sheep to look for the one. And we also ought to share, shouldn't we, a concern for the lost. And being able to take this, walking across the room, is kind of stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of what is familiar and comfortable for us, for the benefit of others. And we do that as we're prompted by the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit nudges us or prompts us and says, you know, go and speak to so-and-so, or why don't you pick up the phone to so-and-so, or and so we respond to the promptings of God's Spirit. Now, of course, it's important that we develop friendships as well with those outside the church. We can't continually surround ourselves with Christian people. We have to get to know those who are not part of the church, who are not following Jesus as yet. And very often, as we share our story, we've thought about this as well, we've all got a story. Even if you think it's not a dramatic story, it is a life-changing story. God has changed your life. That's why you're here this morning and want to worship him. And so when there's opportunity to share that, that can be very powerful. You don't have to offload the whole story and kind of dump everything on a person. But if there's opportunities to share our story and God's story, what God has done, then we should be willing to do so. And Bill Hybels finishes his book by using this miracle, the miracle of the catch of fish, to almost be saying, you know, God calls us to a bigger vision. God wants us to have a big vision. It's like he's saying to Simon Peter, yeah, fish are important, I'm calling you to people. And God wants us to have a big vision as well. As I said before, I'd imagine everyone would have been excited about all these fish. Two boats bulging full of fish. And yet here's Jesus saying, I'm going to call you to something far more exciting. Far better, far more life-giving. And I think Simon Peter must have got it because he leaves it all behind and he follows Jesus. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, you thought that was impressive? Follow me and you will see some really impressive stuff. I think that's what he's promised in Simon Peter, a bigger vision. And maybe to change his focus onto God's kingdom. Do we operate our lives with a grand vision, a big vision of what God wants to do? See, I think, what is this miracle all about? I think in many ways, Jesus is almost painting a picture or giving him a visual. This is what it can be like when you follow me. We all need a grand vision. We don't want to be those who settle for, you know, mediocrity in life, do we? We don't want to be those who just kind of settle for humdrum, always the same. We want to have real ambition, a real ambition under God, to see God do great things, to see God do new things. And I think to live with that, it means saying some yeses. To intentionally say to God, yes, in certain areas. And we're going to look at four of those. First of all, to say yes to God's kingdom. We all said together earlier, didn't we, in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. We need to make that an emphatic yes. Yes, your kingdom come. Yes, your will be done on earth as in heaven. See, that's what Jesus was primarily occupied with. God's kingdom. It's primarily what his teaching was about, God's kingdom. God's kingdom is primarily about people. It's about people. I can't put it any more simpler than that, really. God's kingdom is about people. In the miracle, Jesus is saying, I want your focus to shift from fish to people. The whole ministry of Jesus, what was it about? It was people focused. Not only the people he mingled with and interacted with. Think about Jesus, for example, even on the cross. He's preoccupied with people. You know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. Mary and John, I want you to look after each other. This is on the cross. He has this kind of interchange with the thieves either side of him. Jesus was preoccupied with people. Sometimes and very often the most unlikeliest of people as well. His focus was people. I wonder if we share that preoccupation. Are we preoccupied with people? People around us, people we know, family, friends, work colleagues, neighbours, you know, whoever. Are we preoccupied with their well-being? It's a challenge to me, I can assure you. But I'm throwing it out as a challenge to you as well. Are we? Jesus was. Are we preoccupied with people? You know, do we have their interests on our heart? See, as we say yes to God's kingdom come, your will be done, we're saying yes to people around us. Yes, I'm going to be looking for your welfare. I'm interested in your life. I want to hear your story. I want to know you. I want to build relationships as far as I can. We need to say yes to God's kingdom. But as we say yes, it also means saying no to some things, doesn't it? If we're going to say yes to God's kingdom, and I'm committed to that, then we also have to say no to some things. No to putting myself first. No to being too cozy. No to a mediocre life. As we say, yes, I am committed to your kingdom. I am committed to being preoccupied with the welfare of others. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Through me, through you, through us, here where we are. Secondly, and this is a tricky one to say, we need to say yes to ourselves. You need to say yes to you, and I need to say yes to me. It's really important, I think, as Gwen was telling us earlier, we are all unique. You are unique. I am unique. There's nobody else like us. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you. And he wants to use me. See, there are people who will come across your path that will never come across my path. There are your family and neighbours are not my family and neighbours. Your friends are not my friends, etc., etc., work colleagues. You are unique and are uniquely where you are, where God has placed you. And God wants to use you. And we need to say yes to that. We need to embrace that. You know, to believe that God wants to use you where you are, how you are. And in saying yes to that, again, it will mean saying no to some things. Feelings of inadequacy. Saying no to setbacks in the past that have knocked our confidence. We're not going to live in that lack of confidence. It means saying no to fear of what people might say or react. I'm not going to live in that fear that holds me back. I'm going to say, yes, God wants to use me. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Now, here. Through me, through us. Thirdly, and I've touched on this up before, it means saying yes to the promptings of God's Spirit. It means saying yes to the promptings of God's Spirit. So it's not all about going and doing, it's about listening, isn't it? To have our ear, I was going to say our ear to the ground, our ear to God, listening to what God is saying. Because he wants to use you, he wants to use me. And we're preoccupied with the welfare of people. And so if God's Spirit nudges us to engage with someone, then we say yes. We've signed up for that, if you like. We are yes people. And listening to the nudges and the promptings of God's Spirit. And again, I mean, obviously that means saying no to, you know, this life of comfort, a life of ease, a life of leisure. And all of those sorts of things. Or, you know, I know best, I'll do it my way. It means saying no to all of those things. But yes, I will follow the promptings of God's Spirit. And finally, I want to suggest it means saying yes to an adventure. You know, Jesus calls us to lots of things, but he doesn't call us to a boring life. You know, he never does that. He doesn't call us to a life that is just boring. Let me give you this. Maybe it's a poor illustration. I don't know. Let's just imagine. We're away to the Bahamas. And, yes, it does take a lot of imagining. And you've gone with, say, your best friend or a friend. And you're lying on the beach, and then you get you've got a little boat that you can go out on, and so you go out in this boat, you know, turquoise coloured water, you know, blue sky, sun beating down, and you're able to lie on this boat, and you're just, it's amazing, and you're enjoying it. But then your friend decides to get off the boat and go down in the water. Let's again use our imagination here. They've got the equipment to do that. And they go down, and they see all this colour. And fish and other, you know, aquatic life. In fact, it's brimming with life. And colour and vibrancy. and danger. You know, you don't know what's lurking around the rocks or what's kind of camouflaged in the rocks. And yet it's beautiful and it's exciting and it's dangerous. And you go up, you resurface, and you go back to your friend or to us, and they say to you, come down. You know, it's exciting, it's this, it's that, it's amazing. And you say, well, I'm quite happy here, actually. You know, I'm here to enjoy my life. I'm here to relax. You know, it's beautiful. I'm enjoying the sunshine. Well, here's the question. Which one are you? Which one am I? Are you the one who's content to lie and enjoy the sun and the security and the comfort of that? And the quietness of that, you know, the water's nice and calm. Or are you the one who's prepared to go and explore? Go and be part of this colour and life and vibrancy and danger. Where would God be? Where would God be? I wonder, I don't know. I guess I would imagine down where all the life and activity is and the danger is and the challenges are. Do we say yes to an adventure? Or are we content to play it safe? Tough one, isn't it? Are we prepared to take risks and step out in faith? Or does everything have to be neat and tidy and safe and secure and comfortable? And predictable. You know, when you read the Gospels and also when you read through the book of Acts, there's nothing humdrum there. There's nothing predictable. There's certainly nothing boring. Yeah, there are huge challenges that God's people face. But it's like an adventure with God. We need to say yes to that. Now, I know some of you have already said yes to that, but if you haven't, you know, there are things we need to say yes to God intentionally. Otherwise, what happens is we just drift. We just drift. And the years go by and the years go by. Well, let's kind of recap. What of those four do you specifically need to say yes to God? Which yes do you need to say? Maybe all four, I don't know. Do you need to say yes to God's kingdom and this preoccupation with the well-being of others? You know, being committed to building relationships? Do you need to say yes to yourself? Believe that you are unique. Believe that God wants to use you where you are, even in your weakness and vulnerability. Or do we need to say, or do I need to say yes to being someone who will follow the leading of God's Spirit, the promptings of God's Spirit, that will take me out of what is safe and secure and comfortable in order to connect with someone else? Or do we need to say yes to an adventure? I want to finish by reading to you some words from Colossians. as we sort of wrap up this little mini-series of Just Walk Across the Room. You might want to close your eyes, actually, as I read this. Colossians chapter 4, this is what we read. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's all about relationships, isn't it? It's all about people and the challenge for us to relate, to build relationships, to be able to share our story, God's story, as we're prompted by God's Spirit to do so. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Even through me and you. May we be people who walk across the room for his kingdom's sake. Father God, we thank you for your calling upon our lives, that you call us, you choose us before time itself. And you have loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we bless you. We thank you for the calling placed upon us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live our lives fully for you. To say yes to you, maybe in a particular area, so that your kingdom will come, your will be done through us, Lord, through us ordinary people who are called and loved by you. Lord, would you bless us, would you fill us with your Spirit, that we might go into this new week in the power of your Spirit, Lord, with love in our hearts for our fellow neighbours, those who you place around us, that we might serve you well and see you at work. Lord, bless us, we pray, as we offer our thanks and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.